The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, music and laughter on the Faultless Starch Time program, a 1949 report on the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and Anne Gwynn stars in Tailored for Murder on an episode of Obsession. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Gerard Fay with a 1949 report on the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and Anne Gwynn stars in Tailored for Murder on an episode of Obsession. Right now, Bob Atcher and Mary Jane Johnson share music and laughter on the Faultless Starch Time program as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Good morning, friends. This is Bob Atcher.
And this is Mary Jane Johnson.
With your Faultless Starch Show. Absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless. That good old faultless starch. Welcome to Faultless Starch Time with Bob Atcher, Mary Jane Johnson, the Hometowners, Jane, Larry, Kenny, Earl, and Dwayne, and all your best loved songs brought to you by an old friend, Faultless Starch.
It's absolutely faultless. That good old faultless starch.
And now here he is, that lively young man with the big guitar and the faultless way with a tune, Bob Atcher.
Why, thank you, Bill Grisky, and howdy to all you good friends out there. Mary Jane and I sure are happy to meet you, and we think we've got songs to prove it. Right, Mary Jane?
That's right, Bob. You know, I think a real nice way to get things started is for you to sing a little tune called Detour.
Well, I don't like detours much when I'm driving my old jalopy, but a detour like this one's another story.
Headed down life's crooked road, lots of things I never know. Cause me not knowing I'd outpine. Trouble got in the trail, spent the next 5 years in jail. Should have read the detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. No mind what it said. Detour. Oh, these bitter things I find. Should have read that detour sign. All right, gang.
When I got right to the place where it said about face, I thought that all my worries were behind. But the farther I go, the more sorrow I know. Should have read the detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, ain't no mind what it said. Detour, oh, these bitter things I find. Should have read the detour sign.
Hey. Hey, Bob, you and that guitar of yours just took that detour like it was a main highway.
Oh, well, Mary Jane, you know what the songwriter said? He said the long, long road is a sight less trouble if you get you a gal and travel double.
Meaning just what, Bob?
Well, meaning this next one's a lot more fun for a couple to sing instead of all by yourself. Wouldn't you like to join me?
Well, I sure wouldn't like not to.
Well, then we'll make it half as much.
Fine.
If you love me half as much as I love you, you wouldn't worry me half as much as you do. You're nice to me. when there's no one else around. You only build me up to let me down. If you miss me half as much as I miss you, you wouldn't stay away half as much as you do. I know that I would never be this blue if you only loved me half as much as I love.
Yes, ma'am, it's absolutely faultless. And you'll take new pride in your family's clothes the day you use Faultless Starch. There's no starch stiffness, no starch specks or globs to mar the beauty of your ironing.
That's right. Faultless Starch penetrates. It restores the body and beauty to all of your children's clothes, your men's shirts, your wash dresses and blouses, too. Tablecloths and napkins have the luster and finish of heavy damask. Window curtains look pert. Crisp and fresh again.
Mm-hmm. And work clothes and play clothes stay clean longer and wash clean easier. Yes, you'll be proud of your family's wash when you use good old Faultless Starch. It's absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless, that good old Faultless Starch.
So get Faultless Starch at your favorite grocery store, friends. Look for the pure white box with the big red star. That's Faultless Starch. Faultless Starch has been granted the Good Housekeeping Seal.
Now, here's Mary Jane with a real tricky song and a mighty pretty yodel.
Oh, Lordy.
Me just as happy as can be. He whispered, won't you marry me? I blushed and said, oh, yes, sirree. We've got a date with Parson Jones right down across the railroad track. I can't wait until he ties the knot and we'll be riding back. And oh, how happy we will be, 'cause I love him and he loves me.
But I'll tell you, Mary Jane, I don't know when I've heard a prettier yodel. What's your secret?
Well, there's really no secret, Bob. But to feel real much like yodeling, you have to be in good spirits.
Well, say, do you think all our lady friends would have the right spirit to yodel on ironing day?
Well, once upon a time, maybe not. But now they can iron clothes starched with Faultless Starch. Why, Bob, ironing day is just another happy yodeling day, then.
Oh, Mary Jane, I sure think you've got the faultless answer to that one.
And you know what I think, Bob?
What?
I think it's just about hymn time.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And say, folks, we have chosen the very beautiful It Is No Secret.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
It is no secret. A beautiful thought for a beautiful morning. And they don't come any prettier than this one, do they? No, indeed. Say, lady, do you know that next wash day when you make hot, faultless starch, you can bottle some of it for use between wash days?
Yes, ma'am, you can. And it'll cost you less than 1 cent a quart, instead of around 25 cents a quart for the store kind. And, friends, this faultless starch you bottle at home is better than any you buy at the store. Better because it contains no preservatives to turn yellow on your clothes after ironing. Store-purchased bottled starch has to have preservatives to keep on the shelf. Now, Mary Jane, suppose you tell the folks how to make their own bottled starch when they make regular faultless hot starch on wash day.
Sure, it's easy, Bob. You just mix 1/2 cup of faultless starch with 1 cup of cool water until smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Then add this to 2 quarts of boiling water while stirring and boil 1 full minute.
And this keeps the starch from separating.
That's right. Now add 1 quart of hot water from the faucet. This keeps the scum from forming. Now you simply pour the starch you want to save for later use into a clean quart bottle that can be covered. Put the lids on, let cool, and store in the refrigerator.
And this starch will be ready to use any time within 10 days.
Isn't that easy, Bob?
It sure is, Mary Jane. And, of course, you use the rest of the starch that wash day.
That's right. It's perfect heavy medium starch, too. All you do is just simply dilute it to suit your own starching needs.
Ladies, Mary Jane has told you how to make a better bottled starch for in-between use. When you make your regular hot, faultless starch on wash day, a better starch because it contains iron and aids to make ironing smooth and easy. A joy, not a job. And better, too, because it contains no preservatives to turn yellow after ironing. And remember, you make your own faultless bottle starch for less than 1 cent a quart. So instead of expensive bottle starch at your grocery store, get faultless starch in the crisp white box with the big red star and the good housekeeping seal. That's faultless starch.
Yes, ma'am. And friends, you know it's a wonderful bright Sunday in October and high time for a gay time down on the bayou. All right, bayou, Mary Jane?
All right, Bumpy.
Well, let's go down to the bayou with Jambalaya.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me oh my oh. Me gotta go, pull the beer oh, down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, the crawfish pie, the billy gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my machete meal. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar, and be gay oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Fontenot, the place is buzzing. Kinfolks come to see Yvonne by the dozen. Dress in style, go hog wild, be oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, the crawfish pie, the billy gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my machete meal. Big guitar, fill fruit jar, and be gay oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Aha, hey, Bob, Mary Jane.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if I can step in here for just a moment, huh?
Well, now, Bill, you just make out as if that microphone belonged to just you.
Mighty generous of you, Robert. Ladies, a few minutes ago, Mary Jane told you how to make a better bottled starch with good old faultless starch for less than a penny a quart. Now, if you didn't happen to hear it all and you would like the directions sent to you, simply address a postcard or letter to Mary Jane Johnson in care of the NBC stations you're listening to right now. And we'll send you the directions for making a better bottled starch with good old faultless starch for less than a penny a quart.
It's absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless.
It's absolutely faultless, that good old faultless starch. Speaking for the hometowners, that's Jane, Larry, Earl, Kenny, and Dwayne. This is Bob Atcher saying goodbye until next Sunday, round about this same time. And here's pretty Mary Jane Johnson to say
goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Faultless Starch Time, brought to you by Faultless Starch, the perfect hot laundry starch that's made in barely a minute. Listen in next Sunday at this same time when Mary Jane Johnson and Bob Atcher return with more of your favorite songs. Faultless Starch Time came to you from Chicago. Your announcer, Bill Grisby. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
Now, three ways you can help yourself and help the dealer who supplies you with parquet margarine, the delicious Kraft quality spread for bread. First, to save valuable shopping time, know the point value of rationed foods. Parquet margarine, by the way, still requires only 2 ration points a pound. Second, plan menus a week in advance and serve the most nourishing foods available. And, of course, serve economical parquet margarine as often as you can. It's such a splendid energy food and is fortified by Kraft so that every pound contains 9,000 units of vitamin A. And now a third important point. To conserve paper vitally needed in the war, avoid useless wrapping. Don't ask your dealer to wrap packaged foods. And that means the attractive yellow and blue package, too. Yes, the one that contains that delicious, nourishing spread for bread, parquet. That's P-A-R-K-A-Y, parquet margarine.
About 2 years ago, a Bedouin wandered into a cave in western Palestine and stumbled across some earthenware pitchers, most of them broken. What he found in the pitchers aroused the interest of biblical scholars throughout the world. Gerard Fay of the Manchester Guardian tells about it in this report from London.
Inside some of them, he found 11 scrolls, obviously put there to preserve the writings on them. They were in Hebrew, and after passing through the hands of an antique dealer in Bethlehem, 4 scrolls arrived at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And one of them was found to be a version of the book of Isaiah from the 48th chapter onwards. Some other scrolls found their way to the United States, and some fragments to the British Museum in London. There may be others remaining in the cave, for the excavations so far have been incomplete. These discoveries caused great excitement among biblical scholars, and that excitement hasn't subsided even in 2 years. Probably it'll continue until it's certain that no more manuscripts remain to be found, and until all those in a fit condition to be translated have been translated. But it's probably safe to say, even now, that there'll be no need to rewrite the Old Testament in the light of these discoveries. The most interesting part of the whole affair has been the minute care with which the scrolls were treated in the laboratories. At the British Museum, they arrived as small wads of about 10 leaves each, stuck together and very brittle. In careless hands, they could easily have fallen to pieces and been lost forever. But after much experiment, they found a way of separating the leaves and removing a sticky black substance which was daubed over them. The chemist's work has been entirely successful. It's now up to the scholars. And one expert has estimated that they'd have to work on the manuscripts for several generations before they complete the translation. Since nothing quick or sensational is likely to come from these researches, perhaps the scholars will now be able to get on with their work without being interrupted by newspaper men, who, in the last few months, have been showing much more than their normal interest in Old Testament research. This is Gerard Fay of the Manchester Guardian speaking from London.
Haunting me, yeah. Are you intending to come back someday? sweetheart, don't ever forget. Kiss me again if you're going away, just like you did when we met. Let your sweet lips make the promise again, but darling, I know you forget. Another, and then you forget the heart that you're casting aside. Kiss me again if you're going away, but I'm sure I'll regret. Just like the others you had in your arms, I'll be the next one you forget. Ask me to wait till you make up your mind. You say you're not ready to wait. So down through the ages I'll pray for the time. But sweetheart, I know you forget. Kiss me again if you're going away, just like you did when we met. Let your sweet lips make the promise again, but darling, I know you forget.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and the Leuven Brothers with You'll Forget from 1951. We also heard Gerard Fay with a CBC Radio News report from October 21, 1949, and the Faultless Starch Time program starring Bob Atcher and Mary Jane Johnson. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, Anne Gwynn stars in Tailored for Murder on an episode of Obsession as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Obsession. Great river of life sweeps poor mortals on and on. It is serious business steering a true course with very little time for comedy. But in every life, as in the theater, there comes a lighter touch of laughter, even when laughter becomes tailored for murder. And so to our story, starring Anne Gwynn. Some men have minds which seem to be controlled by others, and those in control, very often women with domineering traits, can cause the unsuspecting male a great deal of trouble. We find Hector Havemeyer tossed about like a chip on the running sea, always at the mercy of beautiful Phyllis Stanley. Here is the story, almost a tragedy, woven by the sharp, needling mind of a woman who had to dominate until it became an obsession.
Hector?
Yes, Phyllis?
I think you're wonderful.
Gosh. You too, Phyllis?
Uh-huh.
What do you want this time?
Oh, Hector, why are you always so suspicious?
I'd like to know why I wouldn't be. I've been wrapped around your little finger so many times, I'm beginning to look like a wedding ring.
I'm sorry, but honest, this time, I'm only thinking of you.
Phyllis, you really mean it?
Uh-huh. Tomorrow night, would you like to drive me to Centerville to Mildred Rappaport's dance?
Mildred Rappaport? Phyllis, you know your father told you that you could never, never go to another of Mildred's parties on account of the last time.
Yes,
you...
I know. But this time, he's not going to know anything about it.
But, Phyllis... I haven't got a car, and there's no bus since Mrs. Murphy had twins and refused to drive it anymore.
Father has a car.
Fat chance of his loaning it to me. You know what he thinks of me.
Papa would never know, Hector. He's sick in bed. I've got the key to the garage.
Oh, Hector, please.
All right. I know something awful's going to happen, but I'll do it. I'll meet you at the garage at 8:30.
You're just wonderful, Hector. Oh, I'm so glad I know you. And I'll try not to spill any salt or break any mirrors. And I'll wish on the moon, just for luck. Quiet to make more noise than an airplane.
Oh, I wish I was in one right now. I wish I was in one right now. I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Where's your overcoat? It's cold out tonight. You'll freeze.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm just as warm as toast.
Well, I'm not. You must have unit heat.
Oh, where's the key to the garage?
Here, and don't talk so loud.
All right. Here, hold this box. Anyway, it's for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, Hector. Orchids! Oh, you shouldn't.
Come on. Let's get out of here. I'm nervous.
Orchids? My very first. Oh, Hector, I'll bet you pawned your overcoat to buy these.
Get in and don't talk so much. Is the key in the ignition?
No, but here's a duplicate. Oh. I had it made while Papa was getting shaved today.
I guess he didn't know what a close shave he was getting.
Hector, did you really pawn your overcoat?
No, I gave my old one away. The tailor just ain't finished with my new one.
You mean you're really going to get an honest-to-goodness tailor-made overcoat?
Sure. Made a little extra money. You know, out of my inventions.
Your invention? What on earth did you ever invent?
A silencer for a soup spoon. Come on, let's get out of here.
You know, Hector, you're really awful sweet. I guess I don't appreciate you the way I should.
Gosh, Phyllis. Nothing matters except that we're together and going to a party. Do you realize this is the first party you've gone to with me since... Gosh, I don't know when.
I know.
I feel kind of as if it was Easter or something.
Oh, Hector, you make me so ashamed. And I promise I'm never going to be mean to you again. And this time it's a real promise. I've crossed my heart and hope to die.
How happy.
Hector, what happened?
Oh, flat tire.
For a moment, I thought God took me literally. Well, what are we going to do?
What can we do when we have a flat tire except change it?
Oh, dear, in the car, Papa will find out, and I'll be late to the party, and...
Yeah.
There's a car coming, Hector. I'm going to hail it. Maybe they'll give us a lift.
But what good's a lift? I can't leave your father's car parked here in the middle of the road.
He stopped.
Well, what do you know? It's little Phyllis.
Oh, Archie.
And Hector.
Archie.
Oh, hello, Archie.
How wonderful. You're just in time. Are you by any chance going to Mildred Rappaport's party?
No place else, beautiful. Trouble, bud?
Yeah, but I can...
A flat tire.
Well, nothing to it. You just hop in here beside me, beautiful, and we'll be there in nothing flat.
But Phyllis, you can't...
Get it? Nothing flat.
Very funny. I like to flatten...
Oh, that's wonderful of you, Archie. You won't mind, will you, Hector? I'll see you in the morning.
But your father... Well, we got to get home. I mean, the car...
Don't worry about nothing, bud. I'll take good care of the little woman.
Goodbye, Hector. Thanks
but,
for everything.
But... Oh, women. Women.
Few minutes past six the next morning. A tired and very cold Hector is driving Phyllis's father's car back to its stable. But Hector's thoughts are on the perfidy of women. He is so engrossed he almost runs down a hitchhiker, a man in a gray overcoat.
Oh, I'm sorry, mister. I almost didn't see you.
Yeah, I noticed that. Going my way?
Sure. Climb in.
Oh, mighty cold this morning.
Yeah. Cold as a woman's heart.
You haven't got an overcoat, have you?
No. And believe me, it'll be the last time I ever...
Oh, what's the use? Say, we're just about the same size, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess so.
You notice this overcoat?
Yeah. Gee, a guy couldn't help it. That's beautiful. You know, all my life I wanted one just like that. And the hat, too. That's one swell outfit, mister.
Yeah, it is. You can't get cloth like that now. It's a very unusual coat. Tailored for me by my Bond Street tailors, London.
London? England?
Uh-huh.
Gosh.
Oh, stop at the next corner I get off here.
Yeah.
Say, son, how would you like this coat?
Oh, would I like it? You know, if I was rich, I'd buy that coat from you.
Oh, you don't need to. I'll give it to you.
Huh? Give it to me? Are you crazy, mister?
I'd only give it to someone else. I'm tired of it. You've done me a good turn, you know. Emerson's Law of Compensation.
Yeah, but...
Here, take it. And I'll throw in the hat for good measure.
Josh, I can't believe it. I think I'm dreaming. Only I don't like accepting favors like this.
Don't you worry, old chap. You're really doing a favor for me. You don't know just how big a favor yet.
Well, now, what do you suppose he meant by that?
Hello. Is Mr. Hector Havermeyer there? Did he get my message when I called a while ago? Oh, he did? And he didn't leave any word? Oh, he didn't. No. No, thank you. I'll call back.
Phyllis, where is the evening paper? I've looked all over the place for it. Man can never find anything he wants in this place. The women always beat him to it. Where is my paper?
Papa, for heaven's sake, don't scream so. You'll burst a blood vessel. Besides, I didn't touch your silly old paper. Papa, what's that in your hand?
Why, it's the evening paper, of course. Oh, so it is, isn't it? I must have picked it up or something.
Yes, I guess you did or something. Oh, Papa, the telephone didn't ring or anything. I mean, Hector didn't call me, did he, Papa?
No, Hector didn't call me, did he, Papa? But I saw the little twerp downtown.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, what's happened to him? Did someone leave him a gold mine or something?
What do you mean?
Well, I never saw such a sight in all my born days. Instead of the measles, Hector's broken out in a rash of new clothes. Where he got the money, I don't know. But that coat he was wearing today must have cost a fortune. And a hat, the first time I ever saw that lunkhead with a hat on before.
Hector? With a hat on? Who was he with?
Huh? Oh, that silly little Barbara Dingles. And she was hanging on his arm as if he was going to blow away.
Barbara? Well, I like that. But then Hector never did have any case. Where were they going?
What do you think I am, a crystal ball or something? The way they looked, you thought they were headed for the moon.
Oh.
Gray tailored overcoat, gray felt hat. And a murder over in Centerville last night.
Oh, they're always having murders in Centerville. Papa, did Did Hector look interested in Barbara? Not that I care, of course, but...
Some guy bumped off in an apartment house. No means of identification. But the night clerk swears he can identify the murderer.
Oh, Papa, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Well, listen to this description of the murderer, and you'll care. A short, stocky man dressed in a beautifully fitting gray English tweed overcoat. Also wearing gray felt hat pulled low over his face and...
But what's that got to do with... Oh, Papa.
Gray English tweed overcoat. Gray hat. Yes. Yes, the very same outfit. There couldn't be two like it in the whole country. Couldn't be a better picture of Hector Havermeyer if they'd photographed him coming out of the corpse's apartment.
But, Papa, Hector couldn't kill. Well, not even a man. Why, it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous or not, I'm going to call the police.
Please don't. You're crazy to think it's Hector. And anyway, Hector couldn't have killed anybody last night. He just couldn't have killed anybody.
Why couldn't he? The way I felt last night was a fine night for a murder. And besides, what do you know about Hector's not being able to kill anybody last night?
Oh, nothing. It's just so crazy. Besides, there are a lot of great coats in the world.
Not like that one there isn't. No, sir. I'm going to call the police.
No, Papa. Let me talk to him. And if he did it, it must have been for a good reason. Gosh, it's so thrilling. Hector Havermeyer, a murderer. I never knew he had it in him.
A fine night for murder, Papa said, and the two articles of clothing worn by the murderer pointed to Hector. A gray English tweed overcoat and a gray hat, once worn by a stranger, now adorn the forlorn frame of Hector. And all this because Phyllis had to have her own way, giving little thought to the man who loved her. Her self-made pedestal was nothing but a growing obsession. In just a moment, we return to our story. Turn to the pattern of gray tweed in this story, Tailored for Murder, starring Anne Gwynn. Hector Havermeyer has suddenly acquired new glamour, squiring a beautiful girl, and not Phyllis. Dressed in a very fine tailored outfit, he is the bon vivant of the boulevards. Phyllis has woven a complicated pattern, and now filled with tiny darts of remorse, starts to tear down the structure of deceit she willfully built. But maybe this is only another facet of her character because, finding herself scorned, she may erect a new and more complicated dwelling to house her selfish and thoughtless obsession.
Hector?
Yes, Phyllis?
I know you have a secret, Hector, but you know, you can tell me everything. I won't breathe it to a soul. I know you had a good reason.
Good reason for what?
Well, for... Oh, you know what.
I don't know any such thing.
Hey, Bud.
Oh, Hector, it's a policeman.
Hey, Bud, are you Hector Havermeyer?
Who, me?
No, your second cousin. Come on, Hector. Get the lad out and come along with me. I arrest you for murder.
What is this, a joke?
Sure, it's a joke. All murders is jokes. I'm the corpse. Only corpses can't laugh.
But who? I mean, what? I mean, whom did I murder?
I don't know. When we was introduced, the corpse wasn't wearing nothing but a couple of orchids.
Well, then, officer, I don't believe it was Hector. Hector doesn't like those kind of people. Do you, Hector?
Well, he don't know one of them kind now because he ain't around any longer. And no matter what the corpse was wearing, we know what you was wearing. And it was a snazzy outfit. That snazzy outfit you got on right now. Gray English tweed overcoat, cut beautiful, just like yours. Hey, nice material. Your grandfather had a coat like that once. He was buried in it, God rest his soul. But to get back to you, Hector, you wore that coat to the murdered man's apartment. That hat, too. You can positively be identified.
But this coat, it isn't mine. I mean...
Oh, so you stole it, eh?
Hector?
Yeah, your boyfriend's not only a murderer, he's a thief.
Oh, Hector, you told me it was made especially for you.
Oh, he did, eh? Well, then he's not only a thief and a murderer, he's a liar as well.
You just gotta listen to me, officer. I was riding along, minding my own business, like I said, when I ran over this fellow in the gray overcoat.
So, you're a hit-and-run driver, too.
Now, Hector, don't talk anymore. Every time you open your mouth, you put the electric chair in it.
Oh, you said it, sister.
But it's true. I gave him a ride. We were both the same size, and he was so appreciative that he handed them to me. This was 6 o'clock yesterday morning, and
what was you doing out at 6 o'clock yesterday morning? Answer me that. And also, where'd you been?
I
Hector?
Oh, yes, Phyllis. I forgot. Well, I was just kind of nervous, officer, and I was riding around.
Not only are you a murderer, a thief, and a liar, but a hit-and-run driver. Well, come along with me, bud. You've got a lot of explaining to do, and you'll do it to a judge.
Open and shut case against Hector Havermeyer. Hector Havermeyer held for sensational orchid murder.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, I told you that jerk wouldn't come to no good end.
Papa, I've got to go down to the jail and see him.
No daughter of mine is going calling on a murderer.
But, Papa...
Young lady, you stay right in this house where you belong.
I know Hector didn't do it. At first, I was excited. It sounded kind of romantic knowing a murderer. But when you think maybe he can be electrocuted for it... Oh, Papa, I've got to see him. He's innocent, and I know it.
What do you know about it?
I...
Nothing. Or about him either, it turns out. That cock and bull story about his being given that coat, fiddlesticks. You know as well as I do that Hector hasn't got a car.
Papa, there's something I've got to tell you.
Well, save it till later. I've got important business to attend to.
But, Papa...
Get my coat and hat and don't bother me. I'll get the car out of the garage.
Are you going downtown?
Yes, but you're not going with me, if that's what you're hinting.
Well, I was only going to the store for some yarn. I'm all out.
Oh, all right. Come on, but I'm in a hurry. Hope this old crate starts. That's the trouble when you don't drive cars often. They get kind of balky.
Maybe it's leaking or something.
Leaking what?
Gas.
Leaking gas? A lot you know about cars. Well, what's this? A box. A box like you put corsages in. What's it doing here? Nobody ever gave me no flowers.
I don't know. I'm sure
And a petal from the flower still in the box. An orchid petal. Oh, so that's it. Just as I thought. Motor dry as a bone. Not a drop of gas in the car. An orchid petal in the front seat. Sure, that's it. That's where Hector Havermeyer got his car. From me. Why, that low-down, dried-up shrimp. That sniveling excuse for an ape.
Papa, what are you talking about?
Hector Havermeyer, he stole my car. This is the murder car. I'm going right down to the police.
You can't, Papa. There's no gas.
Then I'll walk. Now, Havermeyer, you talk and talk fast. No more fancy stories. From now on, we want nothing but the truth, the whole truth, to help you. And even the truth won't help you.
But I've told you everything, just as it happened.
Except where you were, what you were doing out, and where you got the car.
Mr. Officer, hasn't anybody been here asking for me?
What'd you expect, Santa Claus?
Well, I just thought maybe that... Well,
perhaps... Well, you do too much thinking and not enough talking. Come on now, talk. Hey, who's coming in here?
Oh, officer,
This is a third degree, can't you count?
Officer, I've got valuable information. I'll hang that low-down excuse for a man.
I wish somebody would make up their minds whether I get electrocuted or hanged.
Why, you poor sniveling little...
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Stanley?
You stole my car.
What?
Yes, not only that. Here's the box. The murder corsage came in.
No.
Is this true, Havermeyer? Did you steal this man's car?
Yes, it's true, but I didn't steal it, though. I just borrowed it.
Borrowed it? Listen to him. Borrowed it.
All right, that'll do, Havermeyer. Now we've got everything except the confession.
But...
Not that we need it. We can electrocute you without it.
No.
Hey, what do you think this is, Grand Central Station?
Oh, Hector, I'm so sorry. I hope I got here in time.
Yeah, just in time to hear your footloose boyfriend admit he stole my car.
Who is this dame?
She ain't no dame. She's my daughter.
Oh, Hector, I'm so ashamed. And when I think that you would have paid with your life rather than tell the truth. Oh, Hector, how can I ever thank you?
Gee, Phyllis, what's a mere life when you're concerned?
Hey, what is this, old home week or something?
Officer, what time was the murder committed?
Oh, kind of early. Around 9, I guess. Why?
Well, because of Archibald and the gas station attendant.
Phyllis Stanley, what are you talking about?
They're both outside, both of them. And they'll help me prove to you that Hector did not kill that man in Centerville. He couldn't have.
What's this?
Officer, Hector was with me in the car. It was my corsage. Hector pawned his overcoat to buy it for me. Then Papa's car had a flat tire.
What? You were with him in the car?
He was taking me to Mildred Rappaport's dance.
I thought I told you.
All right, now, never mind the homework. Let's have the story.
Well, it was nearly 9 when he had the flat tire, just a few miles out of town. Then Archibald came along. He'll tell you himself if you ask
him. Later, later. Go on, sister.
Well, then I got in Archibald's car and left Hector. All alone in the middle of the road with Papa's car.
You trust that lunkhead alone with my car at 9 o'clock at night? I tell you, officer, never have a daughter. It's a great mistake.
And this other man, the gas station attendant, he fixed the tire, so that'll set the time.
Mm. You mean you went to the party and left this poor goop sitting in the middle of the road waiting for morning to come along?
Yes, and I'm so ashamed.
Well, Hector, if all this checks, I guess you're free. I ought to have known that any guy as dumb as you wouldn't have sense enough to commit murder. Hector, I've misjudged you, I'm afraid. I guess I owe you an apology.
Gosh, Mr. Stanley, don't apologize to me. I couldn't bear it.
You let me do what I want. After all, a man's got to admit he's wrong once in a while.
But I...
Will you shut up, you little pie-faced twerp, and let me apologize before I beat the few brains you've got out of your head? Now listen to me. I apologize.
Yes, Mr. Stanley.
Hector?
Yes, Phyllis?
Hector, would you do me a great big favor?
Why, yes, Phyllis.
Oh, my gosh. You're falling for that line again, Hector. I take that apology back.
Don't pay any attention to him, Hector. And this time it isn't a line at all. I swear it isn't. You remember what you asked me a long time ago?
I've asked you a lot of things, Phyllis.
But this was very important. You asked me to marry you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Hector, I thought if you'd do me a great big favor and ask me again, I might think very seriously about saying yes.
You did? I mean, you would? I mean, you will?
Yes, Hector.
Oh.
Good heavens, Hector. You fainted. Now I know you really care.
And long, long ago, someone said, "What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Thus, full of remorse and seeing the fine and beautiful love of Hector for its real value, Phyllis destroys forever her selfish obsession. In just a moment, I'll be back with a preview of next week's story. White violets mean to a young and beautiful bride of one day? What strange twisting and torture, what doubts and fears are distilled from the perfume of lovely white flowers? And where is the key to the lock of this girl's mind that will open up the doors to peace and beauty? You'll find yourself wanting to help this lovely girl. You'll find her wanting to relinquish the grip on her past in next week's story of... Obsession. Starring Anne Gwynn, was produced and transcribed under the direction of C.P. McGregor in Hollywood.
There is no such thing as a natural criminal, but men and women are daily bred to join the ranks of crime in various places. Cheap bars and dark alleys are among such breeding places. There are such jungles in cities throughout the nation today. And some exist because far too many of you decent citizens protest when the police raid them. Protest what you call this treatment of picturesque characters who add color to the local picture. The result has been a timidity on the part of many local law enforcement agencies. For the police are public servants, and you are the public. You can do your part to rid your community of these jungles. Let your police know you want them removed, and they'll do the job.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY in an episode of Obsession starring Anne Gwynn. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.